1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, ending at the with the fourth verse in chapter 3. And here we read, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" I trust the Lord will give us the opportunity to look at these verses this morning to his glory. Let's once again just bow our heads in prayer. And now, Father, we come to you, looking unto you to teach us in your word the precious truth. We just sang that song that reminded us that we should and can trust your word. And I pray that our ears would be open to the truth of your word this morning. Perhaps there would be in the hearts and minds of some resistance, some objection. But I pray, Lord, you would be able to teach us the truth through your Spirit. We might trust it. We might act upon it. To your glory, we pray in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. You may be seated. In reviewing his previous ministry with the Corinthians, Paul had stated that he spoke wisdom among them that are perfect or mature, back in verse 6 of chapter 2. What kind of wisdom? He defined it as the wisdom of God in verse 7. Then he had shown them that this wisdom was not something made up by man, but it had been revealed to him by the Spirit in chapter 2, verse 10. He says, "God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." Those truths under the umbrella of the wisdom of God. Man didn't figure it out for himself. The Holy Spirit had revealed it. We find in verse 13 of chapter 2, he stated that the truth that they had spoken were the very words that the Holy Spirit had taught them or inspired them to speak. You look at verse 13, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. And we talked about the important principle of the inspiration, or God-breathed Word of God. We saw in Peter's writing, holy men of God spoke as they were moved or borne along, carried along by the Spirit, Peter wrote. And again, the inspiration of Scripture is something which Satan has targeted from the very beginning, starting in the Garden of Eden, when Satan spoke to Eve and his words were, hath God said? Did God really say it or didn't he? And to this very instant, there are multitudes of people that do not believe, they mock, they downplay, they deny the inspiration of the Word of God. And they come up with all kinds of, well, it was just, you know, men just came up with this. This is men's words. No, it's not. It came from God himself. Well, that's brought us up to snuff to where we're at this morning. I have tried for two previous Sundays to preach this section of verses that we now have before us and have conveniently ran out of time both Sundays. And you have patiently come back to hear the rest of the story. And here we go. Moving on, Paul, in these next verses, reveals some critical distinctions regarding comprehending spiritual truth among different kinds of people. Let me say that again. We are embarking today on the ability to comprehend spiritual truth among different kinds of people. I especially use the title this morning, If Truth Be Told. Well, the problem is, truth may be spoken in circles, but that does not mean that the listeners are getting it. Having said that, let's see number one. Group number one, in verse 14, the natural man. It says here in verse 2, as Paul had from verse 6 through verse 13 taken the time to reveal the wisdom God had given, the wisdom among the spiritually mature that they had spoken, that which wasn't just men's words, but it was that which the Holy Spirit spoke in verse 13. And he had talked about how that in verse 12, that the Spirit which is of God, you see, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Then he comes to verse 14, but. Remember that little three-letter word. So many times it is calling our attention to something's different. we're changing, we're going to shed a new light on some things. And as we come to verse 14, we find Paul said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Our question is, what does the natural or the unsaved person do with spiritual truth when it's being told, when it's being taught, when it's being preached, when they are reading it? What does the natural man do with spiritual truth? There's three answers to that. A, as you look at verse 14, here's the first choice he makes. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man, for the most part, rejects the truth of God's word. Paul says it. There it is. The natural man receiveth not. Now, Paul used the word received back in verse 12 when he said, we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is. And that word there simply meant to gain or get or to obtain. Paul says, we got, we received, we obtained this wisdom, this truth from the Spirit of God. But in verse 14, he uses a different Greek word concerning the natural man, whose first response is to reject God's word. This word means to receive favorably. Natural man doesn't receive it favorably. It means to give ear to, embrace, to make it one's own, or to approve. And the first response we're looking at regarding this unsaved natural man is, for the most part, I'd like to go back to that definition from the thesaurus and choose one little phrase there where part of this means to give ear to. Do you know that in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, Paul described some of the end time characteristics? And in that fourth verse, Paul specifically said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they'll instead turn unto fables. That's exactly what this word means. The natural man doesn't even want to listen to you testifying and witnessing to them. It's in the word. They receive it not. They don't give ear to it. Don't talk to me about that stuff. I don't want to hear it. Yeah, that hurts, doesn't it, when somebody says that to us? But that's exactly what Paul taught as he wrote this letter to the Corinthians. He said, secondly, their second response, B, Not only do they reject it, but we see here they conclude that it is ridiculous. Paul uses the word here. They receive not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because it's what? Foolishness unto them. That's absolutely ridiculous. Don't talk to me about that. In verse 18 of chapter 1, Paul had said, the preaching of the cross, the gospel message, to them that perish, it's what? Foolishness. You Christians are crazy. But unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. When the Spirit of God opens our minds, we see it totally differently. As we think of this, and we think of even these two first terms that Paul gave us to describe the unsaved person, the natural man, and how come I can't even seem to get to first base with them? Because they reject it. They don't receive it. They don't want to give ear to it. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's foolishness. But which brings us to the most critical feature that Paul calls our attention to with regard to the natural man, and this is letter C. Paul tells us that this spiritual truth that you are so wanting to get your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your son, your daughter, your neighbor, your friend to listen to and accept, he says, see, it's incomprehensible to them. They can't understand it on their own. You say, Pastor, what's the point of witnessing to someone then? The verse says, neither can he know it, because this truth is spiritually discerned. That means that what Paul is saying here is not that this one you're so concerned about, well, I just pray that one of these days they'll just come to know on their own that what I'm talking to them is the truth. Remember, there's two words for know. One of them is you just understand it. The other one, and the one which Paul uses here in verse 14, is the word which means to, in time, you'll be able to figure it out, and the lights will turn on, and everything will be okay. And that's the word he says, that's never going to happen to them, that they're just... They'll eventually see what I've been talking about, and they'll thank me for it. It says, you say, Pastor, I'm a little uncomfortable with what you're saying here. Good. I want us to get the truth that's here. Yes, the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and we don't do it enough. I'm the head of the list. But when we do, do we go anticipating that, well, you know, the power of the gospel, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Someday their eyes are just going to open up and they're going to get it. Let's look again at the verse. It says, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned or understood or judged. The word here we see is that these unsaved people, these natural ones, they got three things working against them. Number one, they don't have an ear for it. Number two, they think it's absolutely ridiculous. And number three, they do not have any natural capacity to comprehend it. It is incomprehensible for them. So all of this, where are you taking us with this, Pastor? Here's where I'm taking us. We need to keep this truth in mind of verse 14. As we witness to those lost neighbors, those lost loved ones, those lost friends, and what we need to do is to remember, not just to give them the word, but remember to pray, Lord, you're going to have to open up their understanding and open their ability to receive this by your Spirit, or they're never going to get it. Does that make sense? I don't think we pray enough. Oh yeah, we get all uptight because this one doesn't want to listen. This one says, don't talk to me about that anymore. This one, and Paul said, that's the way it's going to be. But keep witnessing. But above all, keep taking their souls to the Lord in prayer. And take this verse to the Lord in prayer. You know, there is nothing wrong with praying the Lord's words back to him and say, Father, I am bringing Uncle Joe. I am bringing Aunt Susie to you. I have talked to them for years and they don't want to listen. And I see it's never going to make sense to them unless you give them spiritual discernment. Then the message can make sense. What's this called? If truth be told. Well, if truth be told to the natural man, Paul said, here's what to expect, but here's how you follow up that witnessing that you've been trying. Keep witnessing. Keep letting people slam the door in your face. Keep letting people throw the track back down on the ground that you hand them. But don't stop praying. Lord, your word says they're never gonna know it unless your Spirit gives them spiritual discernment and spiritual understanding to see the truth of your precious word. Next, Paul goes to the second group of listeners. And that's in verses 15 and 16. Who's that? he that is spiritual. We've looked at the natural, unsaved person and what they do with the word, but now let's look at the second group, he that is spiritual. And here in this 15th verse, Paul gives us that very term. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Judgeth is the same word that Paul used at the end of verse 14 when he said the natural man needs spiritual discernment, that they're spiritually discerned. That's what discern means. Discern, judged, appraised. We see here, well, who is that? Who is the spiritual, and what makes them spiritual? Oliver Green says this, he that is spiritual points to the man who has been born of the Spirit. He possesses divine nature. He is indwelt and energized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in a spiritual person, the Holy Spirit is the dominating element in his being. That's an important sentence. It's not that he's just a Christian. You know, you are indwelt by the Spirit when you accept Christ as your personal Savior. But Mr. Green points out this essential feature. Not only does the Holy Spirit indwell us and energize us, but the Holy Spirit is the dominating element in the heart and life of this person. And perhaps that shoots some of us in the foot right now, huh? We say, well, I know I'm a Christian. But I can't honestly say that the Holy Spirit is the dominating element in my life. I just don't really give him the place of priority I ought to be giving him in my life. I've got my own agenda. I've got my own plans. I've got things that are important to me, and I address those first. Well, don't be asking yourself, I wonder if I'm a spiritual person. We go on. Consequently, because the dominating element of his being is spiritual, his spiritual faculty enables him to examine all things in their relative proportion. That is, things divinely revealed as he studies the Word, as he yields to the Spirit, and things that are just simply human and natural versus that which is of God. That's a pretty good description of a spiritual person. Thank you, Mr. Green. The spiritual man is one whose aim is to learn God's will for his life and strive to be obedient to the Lord's leading. His or her aim is to learn God's will for their life and strive to be obedient to the Lord's leading. The spiritual man or woman keeps a short account with sin. You know, so many times we We take a lighthearted approach to sin. Oh yeah, I know there's things, but you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. The spiritual man or woman isn't going to try to hide it under the covers or the carpet and make light of it. The spiritual-minded person is one whose heart sin makes them uncomfortable. And they know they need to do something about it. And if we confess our sin, he is what? Faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So the spiritual person keeps short account of sin. They don't just keep excusing it, but they are uncomfortable until they confess it and they turn from it because they know this is dishonoring my Lord and Savior. And I'm suffering as a child of his until I get this right. This is the one, and I picked some verses of scripture here. A spiritual person is the one who, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, is the one who is looking unto Jesus as author and finisher of his or her faith. The spiritual person, according to 1 John 1, 7, is one who is walking in the light as he is in the light. They're not in the dark things of the world, but they stay in the light where the Lord is. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, the spiritual one is one who is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. And beloved, God is not going to grow you in grace and in the Lord by smashing you over the head with it. That is a conscious choice. Just like I talk about many times, I say, I'm so glad you made the choice to come to church and not stay in bed. Spending time with the Lord to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him, it is a determined, conscious choice on your part. I'm going to get up. I'm going to look at the book. I'm going to spend some time thinking about what it says here. I'm going to take to heart, what does this mean for me, Lord? Show me how this applies to my life and what I am experiencing. This is the one who is, the spiritual one is the one who is going to be able to determine that which is of God and that which isn't. In verse 16, Paul referred to two Old Testament references, and he says, for who hath, he that is spiritual judgeth all things, determines, yet he himself is judged of no man. What do you mean? You're not going to be able to be understood. A spiritual man, you're going to be considered cuckoo. They're going to think of you as somebody who's lost your lid. Don't get around him. All he ever talks about is Jesus. I don't know what's wrong with him. Well, there's a reason for that. In verse 16, we see Paul referred to two Old Testament references. What are they, you say? Well, one of them is Job 15:8, and the other one is Isaiah 40:13, to verify in that 16th verse that no one, and here we go back to the truth he taught in verse 14 regarding the natural man, no one will ever just naturally come to know the things or the mind of the Lord to explain his workings or his ways. That's what 16 says. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Nobody is ever going to. It doesn't make sense. He doesn't want to listen to it. It's ridiculous to him. He does not have the natural capacity. And you see, when one has yielded to the Spirit, the outsiders are looking on and they say, I just don't know what's happened to him or her. Well, no one knows. No one knows the mind of the Lord that he can just say, let me tell you how God works here and how he's going to do all this. No one. But then Paul says, but, in verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. Believers in Christ, the Lord has revealed his truth to his own. In John chapter 15, with his own disciples, in verse 15, Jesus said this, henceforth, or up to this time, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth what his Lord doeth. But up to this time, I have called you friends. Why do I call you friends? Because all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I have shared with you, the Lord said, my mind. I've shared with you what the Father is doing. I have taught you truth. And beloved, the spiritual one has understanding. The spiritual one, it makes sense to him or her, the ways and the workings of God. But continuing on in our Bibles, we cross over to chapter 3, and you know, chapter divisions are not in the original manuscripts. Man has just determined, let's make a chapter change here. And we get into chapter 3. And here we find Paul now is going to refer to the third kind of listener and their ability to comprehend spiritual truth. What a contrast, verse 14, the natural man who can't understand it on his own, and unless the Spirit does the work, he never will. And the spiritual, in verses 15 and 16, those who are walking with the Lord, those who have a heart for his will, a heart for his ways, and they're concerned about sin and keeping a short account, making sure there is no sin in their life that is breaking fellowship with them. And they will understand. God will be revealing his truth to them. But what about group number 3? Group number 3 in verses 1 through 4 is the carnal believer. The carnal believer. Before Paul started reprimanding them for the sin in their lives, notice how he addressed them in verse 1. What did he call them? Brethren. Brethren. This is a term which always in the New Testament refers to fellow believers in Christ. There are some I have heard try to deny the reality of carnal Christians. There are some who say that there's no such thing. Well, I don't know what they do with Paul's teaching even here. But let's see what he has to say once he has broken the ice once again and given them those words of assurance, giving them the understanding that though what I have to say is going to be harsh in your ears, I'm addressing you as my brothers or sisters in Christ, but I'm concerned about your walk with the Lord. And so having said that, let's see here, Paul in verse 1. Paul, to these carnal believers, referred to a restriction or limitation that their spiritual condition of heart had on his ability as the preacher to share God's truth with them. That's a long sentence, isn't it? I hope you got it all. He refers to a restriction. He said, I'm limited by the condition of your hearts when it comes to being able to share God's word with you. What's he say? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual Christians or brethren, but instead as unto carnal or fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. Keep those words in mind. Could not. He didn't just say, I hesitated. He didn't say, I really had to work at it. He just flat out says, I could not share truth with you that I could share with a spiritual person, one who is growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, but instead I had to talk to you as fleshly. I had to talk to you as though you were babes in Christ. Well, in verse 2, Paul referred now in contrast to verse 1. He referred to a limitation that their condition had, get this, on their own ability to comprehend spiritual truth. In verse 1, he said, your spiritual condition has restricted me as your pastor in what I am able to share with you. But in verse 2, he says, your spiritual condition limits you in what you are able to comprehend or understand. He said, I've fed you with milk, not with meat. For hitherto, up to this point, you have not been able to bear it, assimilate it, understand it, digest it spiritually. And he said, and neither yet are you now able. Up to this point, Paul says, I've never truly been able to give you the meat of the word regarding the truths in Jesus Christ. Milk. Who's that for? Oh, you say, give me one of those fresh cookies out of the oven and I'll take a glass of milk. Yeah, but you know what? That is good. Any cookies you want to send this way, I'll enjoy them. But, you know, you don't live on milk. Why? In 1 Peter 2:2, Peter said, let's get the right one here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire or long for the sincere or genuine milk of the word that you might grow by it. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, Paul or Peter says, keep feeding on the word, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You know, newborn babes, that's all they can take. That's all they can take, either milk from their mother or milk from some other source. There's nothing wrong with that baby. That's the way it's supposed to be. And boy, they like to suck it up, don't they, when they're young. But you know, as that baby grows, that which was so desirable at first, they're not content with it anymore. We had the Keoghs over at our house a couple of weeks ago, one evening for supper, and their little chubby cheeks. She was sitting at the table. She was actually in Mama's lap. And we were eating, what was it, tacos that night for supper?
Bean salad.
And you know, though, that little chubby cheeks, you should have seen her eyes looking at what we were eating. And she was not happy until Mama started giving her some bites of that taco meat. Slurped it right up. And then that salad, that bean salad. She's just a little over a year old. That is so cute to be able to see when those, they're getting done with this milk stuff. Give me the real food. Give me the real stuff. And that is a perfectly normal little girl. And that's the way it's supposed to be. But oh, how Stuart and Brittany's hearts would ache if in a few years' time, milk would be the only thing their little girl would want or be able to assimilate. That would be tragic, wouldn't it? We know that. And spiritually speaking, this is what Paul is trying to get these carnal Christians to see. Your carnality, your fleshliness, your worldly desires, and the fact that you've put the Lord on the back burner of your life, in contrast to the spiritual ones, it is restricting my ability to teach you, and it is restricting your ability to receive spiritual truth. So consequently, all you want is just give me the milk of the word. translate, spiritually speaking, pastor, don't get into some of that deeper stuff. Just preach the gospel. All men are lost, need to be saved, accept the Lord as your own personal Savior. They'll be saved. Don't get into some of those deeper, harder to understand passages of Scripture. You know why they say that? It's an admission of what's going on in their own hearts and lives, that they're still spiritual babes. We find here, he says in verse 'I've fed you with milk, you're not with meat, you're not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able.' Meat, who's that for? That's for the spiritually mature ones. That's for the one whose desire is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. I don't know everything I need to know. I know more than I used to. There's a lot yet to learn, but I want to learn what the Lord has for me. The writer of Hebrews addressed that in Hebrews chapter 5 as he wrote to the Jewish believers that received his letter. And here's what he said. He said in verse 12 or verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 5 concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered or comprehended. He's not denying that there aren't some hard things to teach and comprehend in God's word. And any man who truly studies God's word knows that. I know that. I struggle with it. That's why I am bald. I pulled my hair out trying to find those spiritual truths and worked at it, and I lost my hair in the process. And Paul, or the writer, I think it was Paul, but that's to be discussed by the experts. Concerning the Lord, we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing you are, get this, you are dull of hearing. You're slow. For, now get this, when the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one turn right around and teach you again that which is the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've become such as need of milk, not of strong meat. In conjunction with what we're looking at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 4, the writer of Hebrews, he doesn't say it right this way, but you know what he's saying? You're carnal. You're carnal. I can't give you the solid, hard to understand truths. You ought to be teaching others. But instead, you're sitting there with a pacifier in your mouth. You're sucking your thumb and saying, just give us the gospel. We can understand that. Yes, it's the gospel that changed people's lives. But you know, beloved, there is so much more than just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's so much more God wants for us. So the writer goes on and he says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. But strong meat belongs to them who are of full age. And how do we get this? Listen, it's not, well, I've been a Christian for 56 years. So what? He says, those that strong meat, he says, it's those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. You may have been a Christian for 56 years, but that doesn't mean that you're not a 56-year-old spiritual baby. If you haven't been taking steps to grow. And as Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, I could not give you what I really wanted to. He said, you would have choked on it. Well, in verses 3 and 4, we see additional evidence of their carnal condition. And in those verses, we see he says here, you're yet carnal. That's what's wrong with you. Evidence, there's envying, there's strife, there's divisions. You're carnal and you're walking just like the unsaved. One of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. He said the bottom line is all you're doing is advertising your carnality. MacArthur says this, carnality, worldliness. MacArthur said the church has often thought of worldliness only in terms of dancing, alcoholic drinking, and the like. But worldliness is much deeper than bad habits. Worldliness is an orientation, a way of thinking and believing. Basically, it is buying into the world's philosophies, buying into human wisdom. It's looking to the world, to human leaders, to influential and popular people, to neighbors, associates, fellow students, for our standards, our attitudes, our meaning. Worldliness is accepting the world's definition, the world's measuring sticks, and the world's goals. End of quote. Which of these three groups describes you and your heart? Yep, we've gone over time. No closing song. But which one of these three listeners describes your heart? You know which one Paul was talking to. If you're here as a natural man, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You need to accept the Lord. If you're in that second group, spiritual, I say, keep on walking with the Lord, looking unto Him, the author and finisher of your faith. But if that third one has hit between the eyes, recognize and begin to open your heart to the Lord and leave the things of the world behind, because it's hurting everyone. Your carnality. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, so much here. I pray that you have truly given us spiritual ears to understand. Now give us wills to do something about it if you have put the finger of conviction on some areas in our life that are not right. Lord, we've prayed for years and years and years for our hearts in this church. Our hearts are in trouble. How we need your Spirit to work in our midst, that you might change us more for your glory. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen.